Okay, let's get started.
Wait, just a minute, partner.
No.
Guess again, freak boy.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
AudioTU.com. Another fresh picked pod from AudioTU.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 24 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from AudioTU.com, and with me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, Shelton Muller. How are you?
I'm really well, Bruce. How are you?
Excellent, thank you.
Good to hear. Well, we're back.
We are.
Ready for another podcast.
Well, mate, you've been teasing us for 3 weeks at least. How's the D200?
Oh, it's fabulous.
you've got to tell us a bit about it, mate.
It is a beautiful camera. In fact, if you go to the Ken Rockwell site for Nikon, he basically says it's the best digital camera he's ever owned. And he's owned a few.
Yeah.
It really is a beautiful piece of equipment. I love the fact that it shoots JPEG and RAW simultaneously. I love the off-camera flash that it does, you know, wireless TTL flash, which is awesome.
Yeah.
The CCD, you've got the option of, you know, the Nikon color, or which in the D100 was, you know, very natural and low contrast, or you can go to vivid color and super vivid and all that by choice. It produces beautiful images straight out of the camera.
Wow.
And at 10 megapixels, it really is lovely. It's also a beautiful camera to handle. That's what I've always liked about the Nikon range.
Right.
I've no problems with any of the others, but I've always loved the Nikon range because they feel like cameras in your hand. And the D200 is a fairly large camera, especially with the battery pack on it. But I like that in a camera. I was recently using another brand SLR that I had to use in Tamworth. And it was a small SLR, and my hands were all over it, and I just didn't feel comfortable using it.
Right.
And this one I absolutely love, just feels beautiful to use. So yeah, no, I love it, and I would highly recommend anyone who's having any thoughts, go out and buy one. Just go out and buy one. They're fabulous. They really are. If you're a D7, in Australia the body is around 2.8.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not cheap, but if you're working,
you're talking the top of the food chain, so.
Well, yeah. I mean, in Nikon, it's sort of, you know, one or two rungs down from their top of the line, because they've got, you know, the D2X and stuff. But to be honest with you, I don't really see a lot of difference in actual picture taking and, you know, everyday, you know, pro photography between a D2X and a D200.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a fair bit of difference in price, a few thousand dollars. So have a look at the D200 and just go out and buy one. If you love the D100, if you're a D100 owner and you've got to upgrade, just go out and do it. It's fabulous.
Awesome. Okay, so we've got some more listener questions to answer this week.
Well, actually, three words to Drew Sanderson, who sent us an email. How dare you, Drew? I am the Lord of the Lens. I am the Pharaoh of the Filter. And how dare you question anything I say on this Shutters Inc. by the way, you're running out of adjectives, Bruce. You're running out of descriptions. Well, you haven't used them in a little while, so I'm going to have to get you back into that. But Drew,
that's dead. That's buried. That's so last year.
that's so 2005, dude. Drew, you mentioned or brought to my attention that there are some cases where lenses are sharpest two apertures or two or three f-stops in from the widest, as against what I said, which was two or three stops in from the smallest aperture. Yes, in some cases you're right. However, if you opt for the usually it is between the two that the lens is at its sharpest. If you opt for the other end, though, two or three stops in from the smallest aperture, what you're getting is added depth of field. And considering the context of the question, that's what I suggested was best for Bob. So that's why I made that point. However, you are right. Much depends on the lens, of course, and every lens is different. So I was speaking, you know, rather generally and in the context of Bob's question, which was to get that serious sharpness and texture. Now, Bob, thanks for sending that picture through. Looks like what I said last week worked for you, mate. So really well done. This week, though, I wanted to talk to you all about making a little bit of money back. Now, I know all of your ears are just suddenly going to go bing, because every photographer who wants to become a professional, and most do anyway. You know, the thought of shooting, you know, lots of fun stuff and making money from your passion is always an interest. I don't want to talk about, getting into high-level commercial photography or anything like that, because that's a very hard thing to do. But I just wanted to talk about some ideas to help all of us recoup a few costs, especially if we're good. I look at some websites of amateur photographers who just happen to have their images up on blogs or websites that they've designed or whatever, and some of the work astounds me. It's fabulous stuff, and yet these people work in offices or on construction sites, and they do photography as a hobby. And I'm thinking there are probably a lot of ways that the average photographer who's talented can earn a few dollars back if he's clever. We were just talking a minute ago about the D200 being 2.8 Australian, 2,800 Australian for the body. If you're going to pay that kind of money, or even the D70 for a couple of grand, or whatever you're buying, you're forking out a fair bit of money, and there are interesting ways of getting your money back. So let's talk about some domestic styles of photography from which you can derive a bit of an income. Portraits. I believe everybody should have their portrait taken at some stage, and there's always opportunities there to do portrait photography. Now, you might think, well, I don't have a studio, I don't have a backdrop, I don't have flash heads and umbrellas and softboxes. But recently, a friend of mine, Greg Beyer, if you go to Beyer Photography, B-E-Y-E-R, beyerphotography.com.au, did a shoot with a woman who needed a portrait done for herself, and he set her up in a studio situation, and then took her outside after he'd done a few of those photographs, or into a doorway actually, and set her up in a doorway and used a reflector, and he had the light coming from outside on her face, but the background, or the interior of the behind the doorway, was the background. You couldn't, and he had her very tightly cropped, and with just one reflector, light coming in from the outside and the darkness of the interior being the background, produced a beautiful, beautiful portrait of this woman. He also did the same recently of one of his niece, and it's just gorgeous work. I'm going to see if I can get this picture, and I'll post it up on the website so you can have a look at it. I'll hassle Greg for a JPEG of it, because it shows that if you're talented enough, you can do some beautiful portrait work that is highly saleable. And moving on, of course, from that, everybody loves their children, but very, very few people can actually photograph their children well. If you take one photograph of a child that is beautiful, it is a highly saleable picture. A lot of child portraiture,
and not just to the parents.
That's right. Grandparents, anybody who's related will want that photograph. If you go to any photographic retailer and you watch people printing out their pictures of their family snaps, you'll realize that most people, and I mean no offense to people in general, but most people cannot take pictures to save their life. And that is, I'm sorry, but that is a truth, and especially how sad that is as your children grow up. And you've always, and yet photographers can charge so much money for child portraiture. Yeah. If you are an amateur and you want to come in under that and you still produce beautiful portraits, go ahead and offer, because if you've got a picture that's well composed, sharp, nicely lit, you're already on top of most of the game when it comes to taking, portraits of children or people in general. And they are precious. A lot of child portraiture these days is done very spontaneously. The child is taken to a park in the late afternoon when the light's nice, told to run around, and the photographer does some very spontaneous portraiture. Back alleys behind houses, all sorts of ways that you can take beautiful, candid child portraits and make a few dollars on that. Weddings, too, can be an opportunity to make money from your photography, because a lot of professional photographers charge a lot of money for their work. And that's fair enough, so they should. It's just a case of supply and demand, though. While people want the best photography, they can't always afford it. If you are good at what you do in portraits and you've got a little bit of training, perhaps you've worked with a photographer, which you can ask to do, by the way, in your local suburbs, you may be able to help a couple out, come in at a half price deal and shoot a wedding. I have a friend, Dan Paris, who used to be one of the stars on a very popular show here in Australia called Neighbours. He played the part of Drew Kirk. But now he's working as a photographer in a little town in Western Australia called Esperance, and he did it. He's just bought himself a D200, and he's doing a few weddings, and his work is fabulous. And because it's a small town, he doesn't have a lot of competition, and he's able to do a fair bit of work and earn some money. So it doesn't matter who you are or where you are, you have great opportunities to make a few dollars. Dan also has released a range of postcards from in his local town, and they are beautiful, and he's sold thousands of them, and that's another opportunity. If you live in a small tourist town, make postcards and go to your local, you know, resellers, local tourist places, and news agencies, wherever postcards are sold, and ask if you can display your range, and of course, you know, share the profits. If you have some beautiful landscapes of the area, things that are a little bit different from your normal cheesy postcards, you can actually do very well. And if you're a bit of a hand at Photoshop, you can add text, you can do effects, you can create a beautiful range of postcards. You don't even need to do them of the local area. You can do postcards from very generic portraits, baby shots, you know, textures, flowers, all sorts of things that you can use to create a range of postcards and market. All these things take work and take a little bit of marketing, but they are often great ways for you to make a few dollars back. And in some cases, these things bloom and become, well, they can become your business. They can become what you do to make a living. So there's just a few ideas for making money. Naturally, we're not talking about commercial work. We're not talking about, you know, photographing for magazines or doing advertising photography or fashion photography or that kind of thing. But even here, sometimes it's a case of, you know, not necessarily what you know, but who. And if you have been to a local concert and you want to contact the band's manager with some of the photographs that you've taken, if you've been to a particular event and covered it, there are all sorts of ways that you can get to know the people who matter. And perhaps, you know, as a sideline, also make a few dollars here and there. What you're going to charge, how you present your work, what you actually photograph, all those things are up to you. But there are certainly ways in which you, as a talented photographer, can make money. Because, as I said before, by and large, no matter what kind of equipment people have, most people can't take good pictures. That's why photographers are able to make good livings, because they sell images that motivate the emotions and touch people's hearts, and that is worth, as much as I hate to say it, that's worth a lot of money. So hopefully there's a few ideas for you, and hopefully some of you will come back in a few weeks' time and say, hey, guess what? And I did some child portraiture and made $1,000, and I hope you do, because so you should.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Shelton.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Let me know how you all go. If you come up with any other great marketing ideas out there, let me know, because, you know, hey, I wouldn't mind knowing a few myself.
Absolutely. All right, mate. We'll talk with you next week.
Look forward to it.
See you, mate.
Bye.
You've been listening to another Fresh Picked Pod from audiotou.com. Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable.
You be the boss.
Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear it.
Say, now that's a good idea.
AudioToYou.com. Hit us today.
And remember,
Control-D to bookmark.
AudioToYou.com.